Man, so is this the time that the Lord will return? It's a great opportunity, but he's had lots of great opportunities. But whether it is the time or not, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to be reminded to pray. We have an opportunity to be reminded to be prepared at every opportunity to encourage people that the Lord is good. Now, I am not knocking anything in any way right at this point, but I want to say that, you know, Wednesday was Ash Wednesday. And when I was a kid, we had Ash Wednesday, but I don't remember anybody painting my forehead. We always had a service. But a lot of times people are big on getting those ashes, you know. And I look at it and I think, you know, I hope that that's from the inside, you know, because that's all lots of people, you know, walking around. And some of the, I heard one guy say, well, I don't know, I just stood there and let them do what they wanted to do, you know. So is that a deep heartfelt thing? I don't know. Is it something, you know, I mean, it's, to me, in a certain extent, it's like having a Jesus sticker as you drive by and flip somebody off, you know. They see you yelling at them, flipping them off, and as you pass, they see Jesus on your bumper. Jesus wouldn't do that, you know. And so the thing is that it needs to be something real. Jesus said you must be born again. Now, this is elementary again. I'm an elementary teacher nowadays because I want to learn this. I want to know this. I know this now. We know this. We know this, that when Jesus said you must be born again, that was the truth. And as born again believers, okay, we've got a step up, but at the same time, we've got to be born again. And Paul even wrote to people and said, look, I pray for you that you'll be born again. And I'm not even going to begin to try to explain that. But the truth is that Jesus said, look, you must be born again. We know sitting in church does not mean you're born again. Painting your forehead does not mean that you're born again. It just doesn't. And so that's not that. I'm not knocking that, but I'm saying that I pray that people will take it to heart. That if they hadn't taken it heart to heart before, somehow or another, when they look in the mirror, they'll look at that and they'll think, you know. Because I think a lot of them look at that and think, how soon can I wash this off? I sort of felt like I must not be saved because I didn't have stuff on my forehead. That's not true. I didn't feel a bit unsaved. Yeah. I mean, Paul wrote in Philippians, he said, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? We all know this verse. We know, you know, we may not be able to quote it all the way, but we've heard it, we've read it. Is there any encouragement in belonging to Christ? Or is there any comfort from his love? Then maybe when we look at that, is there comfort from his love? Then the question would be, will we receive that comfort? You know, maybe when you say, I am loved when I can't feel a thing. That was Lauren Daigle's verse. You know, you say I'm strong when I think that I'm weak. So those things, what he says is true, right? When things don't go the way that we want them to, can we get comfort from his love? Can we just let him comfort us rather than getting caught in that trap of, you know, for whatever reason, either what did I do wrong or why isn't this right and why isn't this going right for me? Why this, why that? Can we just sort of lay our head on his shoulder and just go ahead and be comforted? I was talking with my son last night, and we were talking about Luna, the dog, you know, and about the fact that he stayed home from the soccer to take care of the dog. And I said to him, well, I'll bet you that there are times when you just hold that dog and hug him and say, Luna, you're the only one that understands. He said, okay, back this up a little bit. I want to know where you've put all of your cameras in my house. I said, oh, there's just some things that we know, son. Because I sometimes hug my dogs and hug my cat, and it isn't even because I'm feeling bad. It's just there's just something I like about that. I can't hug my wife much anymore, but I will again. I mean, we have to be careful, you know, about that. And I want to be really careful about that. Sometimes I will reach out in the night to see if she's there, and then all of a sudden my radar goes up, and I'm thinking, okay, now, where am I at? You know, I don't want to get near the spot, you know. But is there any comfort from his love? Yes, there is, but we have to access it. You know, and so the same thing goes on. You know, I see these images on the television, you know, and I look at that and I think, this is just senseless. It's just senseless. You know, it'd be like going to rob a house and you break everything rather than taking anything. You know, I mean, that's it. He wants to take the place over in rubble. When God wants to take us over, he doesn't want to rubble us. He wants to build us up. He wants to restore us. And so since we know that there is comfort, then, wow, we can pray, Lord, comfort them. And somebody without understanding will say, well, a lot of good that's going to do. That'll do a lot of good. I was watching an interview, and this American interviewer was interviewing this person on a Zoom call and saying, you know, this must be awful, and going on and on and on about awful, and, you know, how do you handle this? And the guy said, I think you underestimate Ukraine. You know? And that person, you know, their job was to get some sort of a fearful response, and this guy's like, you know, it could have been saying, you know, I feel sorry for you. You're really crazy, you know? You're sitting there and you want to know how bad I feel. He said, no, we're going to fight this. We're going to fight this. That speaks to me of us, where the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight for it. Fight for the comfort. Fight for the encouragement. You know it's there. Dig for it. Grab it. Grab hold. Hold fast to that which you know. Hold on to that which is true. Hold on to Jesus. Jesus is true. He's honest. He's pure. He's perfect. He won't fail us. If we don't believe that, then we maybe need to be born again. We need to have our faith restored, refreshed, renewed. We need to remember what the Lord has promised. I read my Bible every day. I'm faithful to read it every day. I've got proof on my Bible app of my how many days in a row. And it doesn't have all the days by any means. But sometimes I'm reading it and I have to stop and take the time to believe it, not just get it read. The Isaiah 60, the verse in this devotion says, violence will disappear from your land. The desolation and the destruction of war will end. Salvation will surround you like city walls, and praise will be on the lips of all who enter there. This is normally like everything else that says wars and rumors and wars, and all of these things are generally pushed to the end of time. But Christ in you is your hope of glory, and when you're born again, then he comes into you, and all of these things, all of these truths begin to grow. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. When we come to Christ, all the whole package comes to us. And so we have hope for it available to us. It's like when we're born again, there's like a like when the sun comes up and it peeks around the shade in your window. If I want to sleep longer, I adjust the blinding, darkening wind things. I'll adjust those. Pull the shade down a little tighter in the bathroom so that light isn't coming through so that I can chime. But when Vicky gets up, when she's up, and when she's up, it doesn't matter if I'm laying in bed, the shade goes up and the lights come on and I say, oh, you're getting up. When I get up, I sneak out with my clothes because I want her to be able to sleep. But when she gets up, she's up. And then she'll say something profound like, oh, I didn't know you were still in bed. Oh, really? Thank you. But the thing is that when we're born again, we've got a glimmer of the hope. And it's up to us whether we will throw open the curtains, pop up the shade, and let the glory of the Lord be upon us. If we will be born again and believe that what Jesus says is true. We don't have to know how it works. Again, it's back to the thing of, I don't have any idea how an airplane works, but I get on it and fly in it. We don't know how God is going to do what he's going to do, but here's the deal. We can believe he's going to do it, or we can try to figure out how he's going to do it. And whenever we enter into figuring out how he's going to do it, we start slipping. Because his ways really are above our ways, and his thoughts really are above our thoughts. We know without any doubt whatsoever that in a moment, God, before Russia ever attacked Ukraine, God could have just snuffed them out. And we can wonder, why didn't he do that? And there, I guess, I don't know, there have been great prophets of God that have said this is a punishment for Ukraine. I don't know what they need punishing for. But my wife actually shared some history with me that, you know, could cause some people to think that they were bad boys and girls at some time in their history. Well, that's not how God works, is it? Because we were all bad boys and girls at some time in history, weren't we? I still remember when I heard the rumor that Michael was our punishment for the way we lived before we got saved. Boy, that was genius, you know? It really was. God bless him. But you see, if we start figuring out how things are supposed to work, if we start figuring out how God does things, then we can come up some pretty weird stuff. Weird stuff. But Paul, he says, look, is there any encouragement in belonging to Christ? take a pause and be encouraged. You know? I mean, because if you know Jesus and someone says, is there any encouragement in being a Christian? Yeah, there is. There is, you know. You may not be feeling it at the moment that that comes up, but when you think about it, the only way that there couldn't be encouragement in Christ is if I'm not receiving it. Have you ever encouraged someone and they said, oh, I know, but... You know, why don't they just say, shut up? I don't want to hear from you. Oh, you think you know everything. No, I'm just saying, you know. Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear. We have within us that encouragement, and so we have a story to tell to the nations. We've got things to share. So yes, there is absolutely encouragement belonging to Christ. I think I'll just click on that app and let that encouragement overtake me. I'll just open up the encouragement that there is in Christ. Is there any comfort in His love? Oh, we know there's comfort in His love. We've all been comforted by His love. Always. And we know that it does not take some great formula or some special prayer position or some special prayer to get Him to comfort us. I will look up. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Yeah, there is. And so we've got these things. And is there fellowship in the Spirit? Is there fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? Is there fellowshipping with others in the Spirit? Yeah. There is. How do we get in our times when things are falling apart and tearing up and, you know, how do we get the violence to disappear? Look to the Lord. How do we overcome the desolation and destruction? We've all suffered desolation and destruction and disappointment. I mean, disappointment is like a bomb being dropped in our life. It is. And that may seem to be nothing compared to what people are suffering on the other side of the world, but it's not nothing. And it's preparation for helping others to restoration. Because nothing is too big for God. Nothing is too small for God. Any destruction, any desolation, He is able to take care of us and get us to our destination. He is. And we have this confidence that when we call on Him, we know that He hears us. And if we've got this confidence, we can share that confidence with somebody else. We just can. Last week we had word and I had forgotten. How do I forget something like that? I didn't forget in my heart, but you know me. I get preaching and I forget an important thing. And do y'all remember Tony who came to our Bible study a Wednesday night one time, guy from Aberdeen. Anyway, he has needed a heart transplant for a long time. And they wouldn't give him a heart transplant because he was too healthy. They wouldn't put him on the list. But I got a message last week that said that he had gotten his heart. And his wife asked that we would pray. And so I had to pray for all of us since I forgot to tell you. But now you got to pray for him too. That everything will continue to do well. But he has had desolation and destruction. And now he's got reconstruction. And through that he grew great in the Lord. He has a great testimony, and he was always receptive of encouragement, always receptive, you know. In that situation, it would be easy to become discouraged. It would be easy to get the attitude, nobody knows the trouble I've seen or how I feel. But he always was open to that fellowship of the Spirit. And right now, there's a lot of people in America being greatly encouraged by people in Ukraine. Because they're just in it to win it. So the question then is, are we ready? Are we ready to fight the good fight of faith? Are we willing to fight the good fight of faith? Are we willing to pray and go into really battle? And what are we going to do if that comes here? Well, in my estimation, it's difficult for it to come here, but it's not real difficult. See, we've always, in America, we've always fought wars somewhere else since we got rid of the Civil War and Revolutionary War. All these other wars were fought somewhere else. We sent people somewhere. And we've got pretty good protection, and so, you know, there's that. But here's the deal. If destruction comes, and it doesn't have to be a war, it doesn't have to be bombs, but we're ready to face those things that come to steal, kill, and destroy. Are we willing to be renewed and refreshed and increase our faith? Will we allow something like this to cause us to be built up in our most holy faith? Will we allow this to be an opportunity for us to just check ourselves? Am I prepared? Am I ready? I don't want to just read my Bible. I want to let it speak to me. And I pray, Lord, speak to me. I want something. I want that fellowship of the Spirit. I don't want to get done and say, well, there, I finished up my streak. I got another day in. But I'd be honest with you and tell you that sometimes I'm going through my day and I will test myself to see, what did I read this morning? And sometimes I find myself at night sitting down to check and see if I know what I read this morning. What was it? I try to leave myself a note in my Evernote as often as possible, so then I don't have to read everything I read. I'll have a test of what spoke to me this morning. God speaks to us every day. So, I'm going to take the word of God and I'm going to let him disappear the violence, especially if the violence is coming from me. Because there's a way in Christ that we can be angry and sin not. You see, we can't limit the word of God to a particular time in history. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. And so this speaks to me of bringing it to today. Violence will disappear from me. Straighten up, Roger. The desolation and destruction of war will end. See, those are promises for any time. Any time. The word of God is applicable to any time. And the more that we let it work in us now in these times, the more we'll understand how it works in the next time. I think I believe, I hope that I'm ready. I hope that there's enough of the Word of God in me that if I had to plug it into the worst of anything, it would become active. I've had the opportunity to see it work in times that I never wanted to be in. And I've seen God, no particular word, just God. He is the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, just making it work. So I have no doubt that the same power that enabled the disciples when they were taken to be killed for the name of Jesus and the martyrs of these times, when they are facing death, that there is something that turns on that is beyond what we can hope or imagine. And we can be ready because we put our trust in the Lord. And we can pray that we won't have to do it that way. And we can pray for others. Please, folks, pray. Whatever you pray. And it doesn't take hours. It takes moments to let the Lord know we trust Him in what we want. To trust Him for. There's joy in the Lord. And we need to stay in Christ. Not just something on the outside, but something bubbling up on the inside. Amen. So Lord, we pray. We pray for people in war-torn countries right now. We pray for the one war is on the news. Can't miss it. All you got to do is look, and you'll see parts of it, and you'll hear stories about it. But we don't pray about the stories. We just pray about your hand being upon them and helping them, Lord. And then we know that all over the world there are Christians being persecuted, and there are people trying to annihilate whole tribes in Africa, and there's all kinds of things going on. And God, it's not a problem for you. You can do more than we can imagine. Help us, Lord, to just pray. To just say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ooh. Send it like I say.